Hello, everybody. Today, we are doing a live draw-along focusing on two-point linear perspective. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here, Art Prof, critiques, tutorials, and professional development. We have a whole bunch of reference photos, and those are in the YouTube video description below. And I had to watch a bunch of Assassin's Creed clips, Cat. Too bad. So you will find those in the description. And we would love it for all of you to draw along with us. You can use any media you want. And after the stream, we will be having a stage session where you are going to be able to speak to Cat and I on voice. We'll take a look at your work and you can post it in the Art Alongs channel. All right. Now, before we actually get moving with the draw along, we do have a word from our sponsor.
TV is a new type of documentary streaming membership founded by filmmakers. Magellan's filmmakers believe that history is the best way to understand who and what we're going to be in the future. Magellan documentaries have the richest and most varied history content available anywhere. Everything from ancient, modern, current, early modern, war, biography, and also other genres like science and true crime. This diverse range of topics brings the past to life in a compelling manner. The team of producers and curators at Magellan TV scour the world for the very best documentary content and the smartest, most articulate perspectives. There are over 3,000 documentaries to choose from at Magellan TV with a mission to tell the great stories that have defined the human experience. Magellan TV has so many choices, you'll quickly find yourself hooked. New programs are added on a weekly basis. There's even a growing selection of shows available in 4K without additional cost. Magellan TV documentaries have no ads and no commercial interruptions. I watched Enigma of the Celtic Tomb. This is a documentary that explores Celtic history by bringing you into the Celtic Tomb in Laval, France. With stunning visuals and informed interviews with renowned experts, this documentary is an up-close, intimate look at the extraordinary collection of objects found at the tomb. Magellan TV is easy to use. Watch it on any device or connected TV, or you can even cast from your phone to your TV. Get a one-month free trial to Magellan TV by clicking on the link in the YouTube video description below.
Hello, everybody. We are back. And so we're going to go back to our drawing stream. And we are starting with the still from Assassin's Creed. And I'm actually going to be using a bunch of different materials. I'm going to use these Tombow brush pens. They're alcohol-based. And I'm also going to use watercolor, going back and forth between the two. And Kat, isn't it cool that we're doing these super wide compositions today?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of intimidated because I don't remember the last time I did super horizontal composition like this. So you'll watch me flub a little bit.
I think that they're just inherently extremely dramatic.
I think anything that's not the usual will automatically be perceived as dramatic or particular. So very horizontal compositions is not something you usually see.
Well, I think they feel epic, almost like a movie.
I think a lot of people do make that association. Epic.
What I'm doing right now is I'm just testing my markers, because one of the problems I have with markers is that you really cannot tell what the color is until you draw with it on paper. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have noticed that. Like, you can't tell the color directly from just the cover or whatever example they have there. You really have to just like test it out yourself.
And sometimes the colors like do not match at all. So I always make sure that I do that, because you can get really screwed if you don't. And Kat, can you tell everybody what software and tablet you're using, because we got some really cool equipment from Wacom. And so tell us what we're looking at today.
So the software I'm using is Photoshop CS6, but the tablet I'm using is Wacom, a Cintiq 22. And man, Wacom is really your go-to industry standard when it comes to tablets. So this half around, literally any professional artist will be like, oh my gosh, a Cintiq? That's exactly what you need. That's exactly what you want if you do digital art. So I feel very, very, very lucky to be able to use a Wacom Cintiq 22. Basically, it's a tablet that you can, it works as a monitor and you can draw it directly on the screen. Here's a picture of me.
Glamour shot.
And you can see how big this 22 one is. Actually, before I did have another version of the Cintiq, but this one has been such an improvement. Like the distance between the brush and the pen is a lot smaller, so it really feels like you're drawing on the surface. And the screen quality is a lot better. It's not as glossy as the previous Cintiqs. This one's more matte. It feels more natural.
Kat, stupid question. Why do you have the laptop open with the Cintiq next to it in the photo? Oh.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I like to use the keyboard shortcuts when it comes to Photoshop, but I think other people have calibrated different button settings and, I don't know, tricks that I'm too lazy to learn about. So I usually just have my laptop open and just, you know, use the keyboard shortcuts from there, like B is brush and Z is zoom and stuff like that.
Well, I have not opened my Wacom Cintiq yet, still sitting in the box. And yes, there will be an unboxing video. We're very excited about that. But we opened the little one that I received from Wacom. I just really like the Surface so much more than the iPad. I was not anticipating that. It's just so much softer, but also just like a little bit textured. The iPad's a little bit slick for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the iPad is also slick for me too, but there are screen covers you can buy that offset the glossiness. So that could help for you, Clara.
Well, I mean, is your preference to work on a Cintiq or do you like the iPad better? Because a lot of people like the portability of the iPad.
I like the Cintiq Surface. I'm not a big fan of the glossiness of an iPad. Then again, I could buy one of those screen covers, but then again, I'm lazy. But I'm not that picky about my mediums. I just work with what I have usually. So if I had a choice, I mean, I would draw traditionally all the time, but digital is faster. So I'm like, why not just do digital?
Is it really that much faster though?
I think it is. It is a lot faster.
Really?
Yeah. You just give it a shot, Claire. Like, you can have your sketch, you can have your final drawing, your inking, your coloring, all on the same screen. And you have the lasso tool and the resizing abilities. So it does save a lot of time, in my opinion.
Hmm. Oh, man, Kat, I forgot how much work 2-point perspective is. Shoot. Crap. I have to really look. You're just eyeballing it, correct?
Correct.
We talked about this last time, but now there are all these, what are these, beds? I don't know. I think they're beds.
They're beds, yeah.
I don't know. I just like froze up because I'm like, crap, I have to make everything line up.
Ariel says, I like that there is no cleanup after drawing digitally. Yeah, that's actually a great point. That's another reason why digital is just faster. There's no mess. You don't have to clean up water or paint or brushes. No cleanup necessary. You just have to name your files, basically. Just organize it there.
Oh my God. I try to stay on top of my files, but lately it's just been mayhem because we're launching the new artprof.org very soon. Like, I actually labeled one of my files the other day, use this one. I felt so dumb after that.
Oh, man. Yeah, file organization is tough. And it's funny because it's like a recent problem with like technology and files and all of that. This is, now we have to worry about naming our files. Sometimes I look back at old photographs I have, you know, saved family photographs, and I'm worried when I don't save them into like the correct year, because at the moment I'm like, oh, this is the most recent year. So I named that folder new photos. But a year from now, those are no longer new photos. Those are a year old photos. So I have to go back and rename it.
Well, I think the issue is that if you don't name it correctly to begin with, you totally pay for it later, because then you spend so much time fixing it and you got to relabel all this. It sucks.
Right.
Kat, I might have to pull out the ruler. This is so much. Like all these, I'm totally going to screw it up if I don't use a ruler.
Honestly, it doesn't matter if it's correct down to the centimeter. It just has to look somewhat like they will align to the vanishing points.
I know, but I need the beds to like line up. You know what I mean? Like I just need like this one angle is going to help me draw the rest of them.
I think that's another reason why traditional is so much slower. It's just you put down a mark and you can't take it back. But in digital art, it's all fluid. You can erase, you can bring it back. There's Control Z or Command Z.
I mean, I think if I was a freelance illustrator, definitely, because you always have people who are like, oh, change this to red. Like that totally makes sense to me, especially when you're on a deadline, but it just doesn't feel as good. I don't know. I have this physical thing about
it. Fine. Everyone has their own practice.
Tammy is asking, what is the easiest way to find your first point of perspective in a photo? What do I look for? Any tips, Kat?
So when you're looking for the first point of perspective in the photo, let me take this as an example, actually. The image I'm using as a reference here. You can see that, right? So I would look for many things pointing to the same direction. Many, how do I say this? Lines, many sides of an object that are all pointing into one direction. So in this case, it's obviously the beds, right? And let me change the color so you can see my pen. There, you can see that all the beds point this way, right? I think that's like the most obvious point. So they will all point into one point there. But if you also look carefully, there are other sides to this bed that will also, these beds that will also point in a certain direction like this. So I would just look for, I guess, a pattern, like what objects are all pointing into a certain direction. You also have to be careful when some edges don't follow perspective. So actually, here's an example. Do you see this bed right here? It's tilted upwards. So this side actually does not follow perspective because it is folded up. So you have to be a little bit careful about that. Notice what shapes, what multiple shapes point in a certain direction and which ones sort of defy that expectation. So I hope that was a really long answer, and I hope that helped you, Tammy.
Well, Kat, I'm looking at these diagonal parts coming off the right side of the wall. Like those do not fit either. So Sometimes it's helpful just to identify, okay, these I should ignore. These are the parts that I should look at, because it can get confusing. There are some parts they look like they work, but they really don't.
Right. These diagonals coming from the wall, as you said, they do not follow perspective. So I highlighted it here. Hopefully people can see that.
Kat, why did we pick this photo? This is really hard.
Clara, you picked this photo. I didn't.
No. Sorry. You know, Michael Fassbender's in Assassin's Creed and he's shirtless for half the movie. And, you know,
Okay, you know what? Everyone in the chat, Clara was telling me, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm having so much trouble finding two-point perspective images. I'm like, are you only looking at Fassbender movies? And so I went out. and found a bunch of other images, not Fassbender, and they all had two-point perspective.
Come on. I mean, Assassin's Creed has all these cool angles and there's like tons of architecture. And I don't know, how am I supposed to know that there's perspective in Parasite?
I don't know. I was just thinking of recent films I had watched. I'm like, oh, I think Parasite might actually have two-point perspective because I'm not blinded by the fact that Michael Fassbender is in a certain movie.
Well, I was looking at Doctor Strange clips because I was like, oh, well, there's that scene where Tilda Swinton goes all wacko with her architecture. Maybe there's something there I could use, right?
Did you find something?
No. There was a scene of the hospital, but it was 1 point. I was really bummed out about that.
Hmm.
Rachel, oops, sorry, I lost that comment. It just, oh, my computer's really slow today. Shoot, hang on. Ariel is asking, is this photo a real photo or CG? I bet it's a combination of both. I mean, I feel like with sci-fi movies, it's so rare for them to not use CG on even something that's fairly ordinary looking.
Yeah. I don't know enough. It's probably half CG, half actual setup. That's what I'd like to guess.
All right. I think I'm going to go into this with some ink wash. I mean, watercolor, because I mapped this out in the marker, and then what I usually do is I dry the watercolor part and then I put the marker over it. So it's almost like a marker sandwich with the watercolor in between. Cosba says, a problem I find with perspective is deciding on where the point of view is in the scene. For example, if the eye line is horizon line, sometimes it's hard to know how high up the angle is. Okay, so Kat, within this scene, are we above those people fighting? Are we at the same height? Are we below? Where are we in the scene? How would you describe that?
We are definitely above these people. I think that one thing that could help you, oh my gosh, no, sorry. I just realized that I did the one thing that every digital artist hates, and that's drawing on the wrong layer. Give me 1 second.
You horrible person.
Okay, well, anyways, here is the reference image I have. If you can find the perspective, the vanishing points of the scene, then you found the horizon line. So let's draw out the points here. So the point is around here. So the horizon line would be, let me give this a different color actually. I'll give it green color. The horizon line would be here. Okay, now look at that horizon line in context of the screen, this whole screen, this whole rectangle right here. Do you notice how high up that horizon line is? That is because we are looking, hold on. That is because we are looking from above. The horizon line has risen up to sort of match our eye line. Because we are high up, the horizon line is also high up. Hope that made sense.
I think I'm going on vacation, Kat. You can just do all the streams.
You're just pushing all the hard work on me as you like drool over Michael Fassbender.
He's not even in the picture. Come on.
I know where your mind is, Claire. I know you're going to think about him.
I can't help it. And the thing is, like, Instagram doesn't make it better because Instagram knows that I look at Michael Fassbender photos. So it's always like suggesting Michael Fassbender photos. And I'm like, dude, I'm trying to get work done. Okay. This is not helpful. Instagram. I don't like this. Like, there should be something where you can, like, turn off like certain suggestions because they're just like too distracting.
Thus is the curse of living with Instagram and technology and all that. Oh, there's a person on this bed. I didn't see that.
Yeah,
earlier.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I'll draw them in right now.
It took me a minute to catch that too. Oh dear, Kat, I think I just made a horrible mess of my painting.
It's okay. That's the funny comparison. Becca Fowler is saying, I kind of find it to be like writing. I'm writing in second and then somehow get switched to third. I start drawing and my perspective ends up skewed to other points than my origin. Yeah, there are different kinds of perspective. There's 1 point and 2 point, which we've had streams about, but there's also 3 point. And there's also points that don't make sense. Like, you can have beds uniform lined up like this that follow 2 point perspective, but what are you gonna do when one bed moves out of place? How does that follow perspective? So it is really tricky.
Kat, I don't think I want to be in your class. Your class sounds like it'd be hard.
Oh, you know what, I was like talking to someone who she hires me for classes once in a while for me to teach. And I was like, oh, you know what would be a great idea? I should teach space. I should teach 1 point, 2 point, and 3 point perspective. And that's what I told her. I was like, hire me next time for space.
Well, that was the class that you were in for me. It was called Visualizing Space.
Yeah.
Space is hard to teach. I think it's one of the hardest things. It's much easier to teach figure drawing.
Oh, man. I think it's because it's so easy to see when you make a mistake in perspective. Whereas, human figure comes in all shapes and sizes. So sometimes people will be like, I don't know, that mouth looks kind of off. And then you can be like, oh no, they were born that way.
Mean.
No. Sorry. Sorry.
They were born that way. I'm sure that's going to go over well in class, Kat. Better watch that mouth.
So sorry. Ooh, I like that ink wash.
Well, it's sort of a disaster right now, but my idea is to just throw down a lot of wash and then clean it up with the marker, if that makes any sense.
I'm kind of doing the same here with this digital piece. I'm just laying down shapes and stuff, and then I will tweak it so that it does actually follow perspective.
Yeah. Well, because actually the scene is pretty dark on the right-hand side. So I'm just trying to divide to say like, okay, this is the like blinding light. This is the dark part. So it's almost like just mapping out the zones of the painting before, because I was starting to pick up the beds and that was a bad idea. Like the larger thing right now is just to show like, okay, the floor is actually quite dark. And so is the stuff up here. Oh, I just lost the figure in the front. It's so hidden. All right, Kat, I think it's hairdryer time.
Okay. Are you going to mute yourself?
Yes, I am. It's really loud.
Okay.
My computer's really slow right now, though. So you're going to just have to be entertained by Kat. There we go.
We have a comment from Seven Angelic. I feel silly, but I can't tell 1 point from two, from three. I see lines all over the place. It is tricky. I think that you will get better if you actually draw each of these perspectives. So if you draw enough 1-point perspective versus if you draw enough 2-point perspective and 3-point, you will start to be able to identify them in any image you see. So I would just start from the basics, just draw a simple 1-point perspective street or something like that, and then draw 2-point perspective beds. But once you draw something, you never truly forget about it. And I think it will actually help you in recognizing complex perspective images from then on. But I actually don't really remember how I learned perspective. There's no origin story. I can't remember how I began. I just knew about it, but I'm sure it was hard for me to learn about it. I just don't remember when it happened.
All right, I'm back. I love my hair dryer. It's awesome. And you know what, Kat? I usually try to restrain myself in terms of putting down darks, but not today. I'm just gonna let myself do it.
Go for it.
The wonderful thing about these brushes, these brush pens, like they really sink into the watercolor. It's kind of awesome.
It's that tangibility that you like, Clara.
Exactly.
Snuzeko says, man, this 2-point perspective thing is hard. The points are off the page, and that's pretty tricky to pin on paper. You can put your paper onto a bigger piece of paper and then actually map your perspective points from there. I've done that before. Hope that helps you. And I was laughing earlier at this comment by Sad Idiot that says 500 point perspective challenge. No.
Well, let us do the lecture on 3 points first, and then we'll talk about 500. Because we haven't tackled that yet.
Ooh, man. Have you done a stream on it yet, Clara? Not at all.
No, I haven't.
It's a toughie.
You know why? Because I'm dreading making the slideshow. That's why. It's just so much work.
This isn't going to be the most accurate to the reference photo, but it shows 2-point perspective, and that's the point of the stream.
Well, and I think 2-point perspective, it takes a lot of practice. And I think you do have to just mess it up and make a lot of really sketchy drawings. Because I think what I see people do is they try to do like a painting, like a finished full out 3-foot-tall painting. And I'm like, no, just do sketchy stuff where you can just practice, you know?
I think it was Seven Angelic who asked this earlier while you were blow drying your piece. But they were having trouble differentiating 1-point, 2-point, and 3-point. And my advice was maybe you should actually draw very simple exercises of 1-point, 2-point, and 3-point. And then after drawing it and understanding the mechanics of it, you might be able to recognize it in other images in the future. Do you agree with that?
Well, the exercise that I recommend is to just walk around outdoors in your living space, wherever. A library, and just take photos of a particular perspective. So you can say, okay, today I'm going to take photos of 1-point perspective. So let's just shoot as many as I possibly can. Because I think a lot of it is just people don't know how to identify it. Mm-hmm. So for 2-point, what I always do is I find a corner of something. So like you could say, okay, this bed has a corner. So if I want 2-point, I have to stand in front of that corner. 1-point is like standing down a hallway. So you have to think about like, okay, what positioning will put me in a place to show that perspective? I think I made you guys do that at RISD.
No, actually, I don't think you put us through that, my class through that. I don't remember having to take pictures of certain perspectives. I just remember you instructing us to draw them. So maybe you had that assigned for another class.
Maybe.
I think I'm going to move on because I don't like this picture.
You just don't like that it's from Assassin's Creed. That's all your issues.
No, no. Like, here, this is the next image that I'm going to draw. It is from a film called Children of Heaven. And there is, it's a much more close-up scene than the Assassin's Creed image, but there's also two-point perspective in here. So I'll just like point it out for everyone first. If everyone can see my screen, can everyone see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. Make my brush pink. So here is the trick to finding 2-point. You have to find the corner first. So here's the corner, right? This one's just horizontal, straight. It doesn't follow any perspective. It's just straight up. But here are the perspective points. Over here. And over here. Ooh, that might go far off. Those are the perspective points. Hopefully it will load fast enough. Yeah, those are the angles in perspective.
Actually, that's a smart trick in digital where you can just draw over the photo to find where the vanishing lines are.
Yeah. Everyone can do this.
Well, and I also think, Kat, it's easier to see perspective in a bigger, wider space. So the space that you're doing right now, which is fairly close up, I do think makes it harder, actually, to see the perspective clearly.
Right. But it is also good for everyone to know that perspective, 1-point, 2-point, 3-point, well, maybe not 3-point, maybe 3-point, 1-point, 2-point, 3-point, they can also happen close up. They don't have to be grand landscapes. There are small objects like tables and items. They can also follow perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you could be sitting watching Jane Eyre because you're trying to relax, and you could look at your coffee table and say, oh, I see 2-point perspective in my coffee table. And actually, that's where I think a lot of people just don't even notice it, because it's really, really slight.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Kat was like looking at the reference photos that I picked. She's like, that's really subtle. She's like, that's 1-point. I'm like, no, there's like a little sliver of 2-point. Just like, nah, that's too subtle.
No, sorry. I'm such a diva when it comes to space.
You are a diva. Oh my God.
I want to give a shout out to Jill Kama for this super sticker. Thank you very much. As you guys know, your support helps us keep our prof up and running. So thank you, Jill Kama, for supporting us.
Oh, there's all these reflections of the people in the floor. Oh, shoot. Oh, my gosh. Look at this color. I thought it was so light, and it's, like, super dark. Ugh. I hate that crap.
It's fine. I think it still looks fine.
I know. It's just, you know, that, like, that's startling, like, oh my God, it's so orange. Like, you're just not prepared. It's a little traumatic.
Oh, thanks for the encouragement, Ayane. You were literally in the sketching stage, Kat. You gave up so early. Recently did a perspective drawing and I used no lines or guides and it looked like yours. Just refine it and you'll be A-okay. I agree. Yeah. I could have stuck with it longer. But I'm just doing the opposite of what Clara is doing. Clara is focusing on one or two pieces. I want to speed through 4, hopefully, by the end of the stream.
That's just because you're a big show off.
It's because I want to show a different method of working.
Yeah, right. We have a question from Katya who says, when was the last time you used a hairdryer to dry hair? The people need to know. I don't remember. Like, my hair dryer just sits under my desk. I don't think it's ever in the bathroom.
Wait, so do you use a hair dryer at all to dry your hair?
No, because my hair's so short. Like, why do I need to do that?
Oh, that makes sense.
What, am I like going to the prom? I mean, like, it's just not necessary.
Well, this could just be a Chinese medicine way of thinking, but it's really bad to leave your hair wet because it's cold, and that's not good for your head.
Oh, really? I never heard that.
Mm.
I mean, I do know the thing about how for the new year, you're supposed to get your hair cut.
What? I've not heard of that.
You haven't? It's like you're supposed to like cut away the old year and start fresh.
Interesting. I've heard of doing cleaning the house before the new year.
That's so boring, though. Why do I want to clean my house? Oh, shoot. Now I'm realizing that, like, nothing is lined up, Kat. And that's where I just say, screw it. Whatever. You know, it's like, up to a point, you just sort of give up on all the accuracies. Or is this just me being lazy? I don't know.
No, I think that's fine. It would be so boring if it was 1,000% accurate, but it's a little more difficult with 1-point, 2-point, and 3-point perspective because it is really easy to see if someone's made a mistake.
Yeah.
Like, who cares if the proportion of the figure doesn't match the size of the bed? But it would matter if your beds are totally skewed and not following perspective at all.
Well, I'm realizing this person is like floating above the bed. Oh my god, all the stupid pillows. Why are they like angled that way? Why did I pick this picture? What's wrong with me?
It's really easy to see the 2-point perspective in that photo.
I know, but all the stupid pillows are in the way.
Art is work.
Hey, you were just telling me like a half an hour ago that I don't want to work.
This was before the stream. And it's really true, I don't want to work. I think, well, just now I was like, art is work. But before the stream, I think I was telling Clara, life is work.
Well, you were telling me that your favorite part of being an artist is being done.
It's true. I don't like drawing. I like having drawn.
I feel like that's some famous quote from a writer.
Yeah. It's from some writer who said, I don't like writing. I like having written. But I don't know.
I think it was Thoreau? I can't remember. Yuel says, I think the images you picked are both 3-point perspective, so it's making it harder. Katz is definitely not. Mine might have a sliver of 3-point, but it's mostly 2-point. I mean, yeah. If there's any 3-point, it's like a by a millimeter.
Like, if we think about this down to the little detail, like, I think that Clara's photo might have the slightest bit of 3-point, but it's really hard to tell because those beds are very short. So the way to see the 3-point is actually seeing, like, if the beds were taller, we would be able to see 3-point probably more clearly, but we cannot. And in the case of this reference photo, it is not 3-point because if we look at the reference photo, these beams don't completely follow perspective. These blue beams, they are a little lopsided. They do not stand completely straight. So it might actually give the illusion of being 3-point because they seem like they might, you know, converge to a single point, but that's not it. They are just kind of lopsided beams. I think the most the thing we can trust the most is this corner right here.
Yeah. 2-point is all about the corner. If you have the corner, you're good to go, right?
Yeah. This corner right here. Like, I am trusting that that corner just stands straight up.
I mean, 1-point, you just need a hallway. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, One Point is kind of boring. You know, it's just so straightforward.
One Point is very straightforward, but it can be very, it can convey a lot of story. I mean, I've learned this in your class, Clara.
Oh, are you feeding my own advice back to me? I think you learned this from Lauren.
Okay.
Lauren loves it. Oh my God, she eats it up. Although Deep D loves to teach me. She's always like, the student becomes the teacher. She always gets to like declare this in the middle of the stream. I can't tell if that's a body or a bunch of sheets on this bed. I'm so confused because the image is not great quality, but you know, that's not the end of the world. We're okay. We can deal.
Derek Shoemaker says, I heard from a teacher that there is only 3-point perspective. It's just that in 21 point, one of the vanishing points are so far away, its grid lines seem parallel.
What?
21 point? I've never heard of that before, but like
21 point?
I think that sometimes it is really hard to tell the perspective, the vanishing point, because sometimes it's just so slight. Like, whoever pointed out that Clara's image might have been 3-point. Yeah, because it's so slight. It's like so really hard slight to tell. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think for a lot of these draw alongs, we do intentionally pick images where the perspective is sort of blatant, because if you make it too subtle, it really is hard for people unless they have a ton of experience with perspective, and most people don't.
It was not 21 point, it was 2 and 1 point.
Oh, okay. I was like, 21?
Yeah, I was like, 21 point.
About this.
I was like, is this like a running joke with that person who's 500 point?
I think I'm going to go back to the watercolor now because I've beefed up some of the structure, but I want to get more of an atmosphere into some of the darker passages. So let's see what happens. It is hard to get value with watercolor though.
Watercolor is tough. It's one of my least favorite mediums.
Something you're not good at? What?
Clara.
Well, it's just that you don't meet a lot of people who are like good at painting and good at digital, like as an oil painting, you know, like a lot of people are sort of one or the other. So I think you're sort of unique in that way.
Okay. Yoel Adamas has a spin on what you said earlier, the student becomes a teacher, where they said, in martial arts, the best times is when they use on you what you have taught them.
I love that. That's so good. Although, this is a good way to look at things too, Kat. Shigeko says everything is infinite point perspective. That's good. That's a good blanket statement for the world. Ayane is saying, Clara, to paint the reflections in the ground, have you thought about painting the reflection normally and then using a thin wash to change the colors to be more tealish? That sounds really sophisticated and smart, Ayane, and my brain is mush right now. So that sounds like a good technique for you. I mean, I do have an excuse. We're launching the new website very soon. And oh my God, my brain is going to explode, Kat.
Like, yeah, no, Clara, you seemed really stressed earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always stressed, but this is sort of like exceptional. I mean, I was up till 4 last night working on it.
Wow.
It's too late for me.
No, that's too late for anyone. Nobody should stay up till 4.
Well, I do this thing where I get so wrapped up that I can't stop. Or then even when I try to go to sleep, I can't go to sleep. It's really bad. It's like my mind is just like racing all the time.
Yeah, that does not seem good.
No, I don't have a solution for it either. But I will say, the new website looks amazing. I mean, we have this extraordinary designer who is miraculously volunteering their time, which I don't know what I did to deserve that, but it looks amazing. And the current website, just, it hurts my head to look at it. So this is a big improvement, big upgrade.
Yeah, that website looks amazing. It's crazy how somebody volunteered the time to do that.
I don't know. It's like, because, you know, we never would have hired a pro UX designer because they cost an arm and a leg, the good ones. And we got one of the good ones.
We got an amazing one.
And an amazing one. Yeah. And the thing is, like, the designer we're working with, they're kind of crazy like me in terms of ambition. I don't know if that's a good thing, because you guys always talk me out of dumb decisions. But I have this like last minute idea for this new part of the website, which I'm not going to tell you about because you're just going to have to wait and find out. And I was like, I think this is too late to do. Please tell me if this is idiotic. And they're like, no, let's do it. It sounds crazy, but let's do it. I'm like, shoot, somebody who's indulging in all my craziness. Because Lauren doesn't let me get away with that crap. We have a comment from Katya who says, I got into a drawing camp. Awesome. Any tips on how to look at everyone as people rather than immediate competitors? Oh, that's a great question. It's really hard.
Wow. Yeah, that is a good question. Clara, do you want to take a stab at it first?
I think you have to recognize that no matter what skill level you think you're at, there's always somebody who's better, always. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do about that. So I think if you think more about, okay, well, that person, maybe they can draw these things, but you know what? I've got some kick-ass stories and ideas, and nobody else has those ideas. So to highlight, what is it that you can do? Because it's not just about skill all the time. And I find that in a lot of those programs, it's all about people competing for skill, but you can't compete for ideas.
Wise words.
Well, what's your advice?
I mean, it's so general, but try just to see people as not just their artwork. Try to see them as people. And see if they're friendly, if they're amiable, if they want to get to know you, or if they're really out to get you and compete against you in your art. I mean, I think that makes all the difference when just developing relationships. And it's, I'd say like half of being an artist is being part of a community. You can't just like make art and... Well, yeah, sure. You can just like make art, post it online and be great about it. But the way to improve the best is honestly having sounding boards and people around you to like inspire you. So you should be pursuing great skill level in art, of course, but you should also be pursuing who do you surround yourself with, who encourages you to keep improving your art.
Actually, Kat, this is something I stole from Jordan. He said that if there's somebody in that class who's really good and you're intimidated by them, he said, go make friends with that person.
Smart.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah. But like, be chill about it. Be natural. Don't be like, oh my God, your art. Like, actually, I've had that happen to me. I was in a painting class and I've had experience painting the human figure before. So I was like somewhat more advanced than some of the other students. And there was like one student who approached me going like, oh my God, you are so much better than everyone else here. You want to be friends? And I was like, that's such a weird way to approach me.
Oh my God. That's really awkward. What did you say?
Yeah. I'm like, they can hear you, you know? It was awkward. So don't do that.
No, just do it more sneakily, correct?
No, just do it in a genuine way. Like, I think you're really cool. I think your art's really cool. And I want to get to know you better. It's not like you are better than everyone else or, you know, it's not like, why would you compare people like that? You know?
I don't know. I used to get hyper jealous of other people in art school that were better than me. And it really screwed with me for a while. It's really hard not to have that reaction and not to compare yourself all the time.
Yeah. But I think it's also good to know that it's like objective. It's not like you take a math exam and you get a certain score and that's your score, right? There's only like, you can get a 100% or you can get less than that. It's not that easy with art. There are different kinds of art and there are different ways art can be stronger. You can't be strong in everything in art.
Well, and Kat, I regret being so hyper focused on skill when I was in art school, because number one, when I did start to engage more with content, I felt really behind because I was just so obsessed with like getting good technique. And so that wasn't good for that reason. But also, I think I just missed out on a lot of opportunities because I was like so obsessed with skill. Like it was so bad that it got in the way of me being able to learn other stuff, which is just as important. So it looks like people are excited for the new site. I am too. And my test for the website, Kat, is if I can find it quickly, then it's a good sign. Because there are times on the old site where I'm like, where is, I'm like, dude, if I can't find it, nobody can find it because I know the content really well.
That's a great frame of reference.
Mimic says, I'm glad to hear feeling jealous and intimidation is normal to feel and not feeling guilty, feeling those emotions. I think there's nobody who doesn't compare themselves. I do that all the time and I can't stop. It's not really an option. Even though I know better, I still do it. Kat, should I work on this more or should I move on? Maybe another passive marker?
Yeah, I think you should move on. I don't think you should overwork
it. Right.
I think it's really impressive as it is right now.
I'm overworking it, I think. Okay. All right, I think that means I have to flip my watercolor block this way. All right, which one should I do next? I don't want to do the one you're doing. I don't want to be compared to you, Kat. Crap, these other ones are hard too.
It's all hard.
They're all hard. I don't want to draw all those chairs.
Why don't you do the one that's really slight with the three figures in the parasite still?
That one's even harder though, because
how is that harder?
It is harder. I'm going to do the one of like the bright lighting with the couches. Maybe that's better.
Okay. Has anyone seen, Clara, have you seen this film, The Children of God, Children of Heaven?
I have not. What is that movie about?
Hold on, let me look it up. I don't want to get the name wrong. Yeah, it's Children of Heaven. It's about these two, the brother and sister. I think they're in Iran. It's been years since I watched this film, so I could get some facts wrong. But the boy loses his sister's shoes, and they develop a really complex system of her having to borrow his shoes because they don't have enough money to buy new shoes. And they're keeping it a secret from their parents. And the grand finale is that there is a race that the boy participates in, and third place gets a new pair of sneakers. So he participates in that race aiming for third place.
Oh. Mm. It's a foreign film?
Yes.
I never
I think it was before. Nominated for Best Foreign Film of the Oscars, and Life is Beautiful won instead. But thanks to the nomination to the Oscars, this film got more traction and more popularity.
This one's so hard. But you know what's helping me, which I didn't do on the last drawing, is I'm drawing way smaller. I'm zooming out more, because I find with perspective, if you try to zoom in, you're making your life more difficult. It's weird. I don't know. Do you agree with that, or am I crazy?
I'm sorry, I missed it because I was focused on my piece. Are you trying to zoom in or zoom out?
No. I'm just saying, like, if I draw smaller so I can show more of the space, I feel like it's more manageable than if I try to, like, zoom in on one area.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Bite size.
Well, because I used to do, like, space studies with the RISD students, and most of the time, the issue was that they would zoom into the space so much that they were just drawing like a shred of the corner. Like they weren't drawing the ceiling. They weren't drawing the floor. They were like only drawing the walls. Mm-hmm. And so another recommendation I make to people is like, listen, if you're drawing a space, if you can include all three planes, ceiling, wall, and floor, that immediately just makes it feel more spacious. Because mm-hmm. if you only have ceiling and wall, you don't get the floor to ground the space.
Yeah. I think a lot of people mistake the fact of, they try to make it bigger because it feels big. But the trick is actually making everything smaller, and then so that you can see all of the space, including the ground and the ceiling.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of what you think you should be doing.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's super confusing.
Okay. I got the general gist of this film still. I'm going to move on to A Parasite still now.
I really like the colors in that one. Like the way you blocked them in was like super satisfying.
Oh, thank you. Pulled it up onto the screen again so people can see.
Yane says, why not simplify it, Clara? When there's lots of details, I just put some mist and say, that's good. Mist is very helpful because you can just say, oh, it's atmospheric perspective. Katya has a question about the art dare, which, by the way, Lauren and I announced that yesterday. The art dare is tattoo designs and body art. Katya's asking, can you make a tattoo design where it has context between two places? For instance, half a heart on each foot, and then when they're together, it's a full one. Oh, yeah. I mean, we placed very few limitations on the art dare because we really want all of you to be able to try a number of different things. And remember, you don't have to do the artwork on somebody's body. Like, basically, you could design a pen drawing on a piece of paper, and then maybe you could Photoshop it on top of the picture of someone's leg. We just do need to see if you do a tattoo design, like where it's actually going to go on the body. And how you choose to do that, that's totally up to you. So Ariana says, I've been really struggling with this lately. I've been seeing my technique improve steadily, but I don't feel like my artistry is. Do you have any tips for that, Kat? I think that's also very common.
I mean, this is such a downer answer, but just like keep at it. You got to just keep moving forward. I think it's wonderful that you see some improvements in some aspect of your art making. And I think keep doing that. Keep improving in that sort of whatever recipe you have going right now that's working for you, keep doing that. But maybe experiment beyond whatever you're doing right now. So if you were constantly doing graphite drawings, maybe branch out and do printing or ink drawings or something like that. Try to experiment a little bit more and not just focus on your skill with just those foundational skills. Have fun with it, but still keep up building those foundations. Those foundations will help you in the end.
I do think though, Kat, that coming up with ideas, and they mentioned it as artistry, I do think that's an initiative. I don't believe in the whole, oh, wait around until something strikes you. Like, I think we do have to be more proactive than that as artists. So I would say keep a sketchbook and just write down what you're interested in. And even if it doesn't make sense, like, let's say you really like caterpillars, but you can't really explain why. You're like, oh, I just like them. A lot of people are like that. But then if you dig a little deeper, you say, well, why do I really like caterpillars? What is it about them that I think is really interesting? And you might actually find some cool answers you were not expecting.
Sometimes you can just equate creativity to being weird. Like, what makes me weird? I think that's totally true. Like, my friend Julie Bin Bassett is honestly one of the weirdest people I know, but she's also one of the most creative people I know. Recently on her social media, she posted all these mermaids because it's the month of May and she's making mermaids, but those mermaids are reverse mermaids. So the upper half is a fish and the lower half is human legs. So I don't know, that's just really freaking weird, but somehow she made it work.
Or sometimes it's actually just a matter of asking yourself why. So if you draw a mermaid, you can say to yourself, well, why? Why did I pick that? What is it that led me to that? Because while I do think spontaneity is helpful, sometimes it is fun to just sort of step back and analyze the why.
We have a question from JD Corrigan about the site. Will the new website have a tab for things like the Jordan and Alex charcoal special feature section?
All I can say is you are all lucky Jordan is not on this stream.
Lucky for Jordan.
I know. Why? Poor Jordan. What did he do to deserve this treatment? I mean,
people just latched onto something that they could poke fun at him for.
Well, because he's so nice. You know that he'll never be like genuinely mad. That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh man, I hope I finish this one in time.
You see, you're a show off. You're trying to finish. I'm embracing the process, Kat. I'm deeply immersed in my process. You're so product oriented.
Art is work. Art is business.
Yeah, you're discovering that right now. Isn't it kind of a bummer? I don't know. It's sort of like that moment when you realize, oh, my parents don't know everything. Crap. Now I have to be responsible.
I think what drew me to this film still is how subtle the two point is, where it almost feels like I'm not going to draw a two point. I'm going to focus on the figures, but that's a trick. It's a trick to get me to draw two point. I want to settle these figures into a space that's believable. So I do actually need an understanding of two point to do it.
I mean, I think that still is really hard because of all the overlap with the figures makes it very challenging.
Yeah. But you can see it, the challenge is something exciting and almost as a tool, because now that the figures are there, I can be like, oh, well, the corner of this sofa pokes out a little bit out from her body like this, and it should touch the other figure. Like, I can do comparative comparisons between the figures and the perspective, and that might actually be more accurate. Sorry?
Comparative comparisons.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
I'm also tired today, Clara.
Well, what's your excuse? I'm launching a whole website from scratch. Well, I will say, here's my theory on LifeCat. I don't know if I ever told you this, but my whole theory is that everybody in the world is effed up. That's what I think.
We already have a saying about this? Like, this is our thing we say to each other. People suck.
People suck is not the same thing as everybody's effed up.
Okay.
I think they're two different things.
I feel like saying people suck is more of a blanket statement.
Well, I think that saying that everybody's messed up, it's like a little bit more empathic. Like, I think saying people suck, that's just like us being mean, you know? That was the joke, Kat, when she was my TA at RISD. You'd always come in with some exasperating story about somebody doing something really dumb that week because you were an RA. Like, the conversation after you told me the story, it always ended with, people suck. It's true. They kind of do sometimes. Ariel says, we all suck.
Yeah, everyone, including us.
Yes, I'm sure we do. This is a nice piece of advice from Ave, who says, research on a thing you're interested in, you'll eventually get there. That's what we were taught as writers. You know something, Ave? I think writing and being an artist, I think they're really, really similar. Because I don't know if I told you this, Kat, but I have this fantasy of being an NPR anchor, well, mostly because I just want to sit next to Ari Shapiro, because he's so cute.
You do a great job. You ask all the right questions, Clara.
Well, I also enjoy public speaking. I know that sounds crazy. I know a lot of people are scared of it, but I like it.
I think you like it because other people are scared of it.
Maybe that's why. But so because I have this fantasy of being an NPR reporter, because I want to say, this is NPR. Anyway, I follow a whole bunch of journalists on Twitter, and they talk about writing articles and the process. And it's like the exact same set of problems that we have. It's really interesting. And we have a question here. My mouse, whatever, let me click. From Ripple of Aqua, who says, have you guys ever discussed artist burnout? I love dissecting my own work, but then I feel pressured to make something perfect to the point of not making much of anything. What do you think, Kat?
Oh, yeah. We have all experienced artist burnout, right? Clara, you have for sure, right? I mean, I'm having it right now. You have like such a much more extensive art career than I have, but even I have suffered from artist burnout. And how do you... What was the question? It's like, how do you move forward from it?
Yeah.
I think it is good to acknowledge your limits. And although it is good to pursue new projects and new ideas and all of that, I think it's also a skill to be able to rest, sort of like a athlete. Sometimes you have to work for the certain art making practice you want, and sometimes you actually have to like learn to let go. So if you do have artist burnout, that is the biggest sign that you do need to let go and let loose and have a break. And accept that. Don't beat yourself up over it. Speaking for myself personally, I have been working on this comic story for maybe half a year nonstop, and I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. And finally, when I got some feedback from people going like, hey, maybe you should work on something different for a change, I was like, no, I'm not. And so instead, I kept like headstrong working on this story and changing up major ideas multiple times to the point where I'm like, now I'm truly not getting anywhere. It would have been just like more beneficial to just stop, rest, and maybe let my mind settle a little bit. So we've all experienced this.
Well, actually, Kat, I'm having the same issue, like literally right now with the website, because you have that thing where you start fixing little things and it's like, you just can't let certain little things go. But then that turns 5 tasks into 30. And then you start realizing, I can't do this. I'm never going to finish the website if I do this. And so in the beginning, I was like, oh, I have to have this tutorial and we can't launch without this. And I must have this. And then I was like, Clara, you're deluding yourself. Like, this is so dumb. You should just get it launched and you'll do that other stuff later.
Mm. Yeah. When somebody was asking about making comics like a while back, they said something like, can I start on my really huge, big biography that I've been planning for years immediately, even if I haven't done comics before? And the answer to that would be, if you want to be wise, maybe not. Start small. Yeah. Don't put that huge pressure on yourself when you're probably not ready. Sometimes people just need the right time and space for things. And sometimes the right thing to do is to rest and to just rest.
Well, and also sometimes if you skip on fundamental things, like I have a lot of students I work with who are really into animation and they're like, oh, I really want to make a film and I have all the characters and I have all these ideas. And I'll say, okay, well, have you animated before? No. And I'm like, you should, because the way you design a character will be affected by your understanding of animation. And I think it's a mistake to design an animated film without actually having animated something. So God's Little Artist says, sometimes I don't know when to stop and I end up ruining what I'm doing. I always do that with watercolor. In fact, I'm probably doing it right now. Like, I never know when to walk away from watercolor. Like, I always want to fix it. But I know that watercolor tends to do better when I leave the freshness of the stroke and don't get picky about things.
Would you say that watercolor is one of the most difficult mediums you work with, Clara? For personally, for your practice?
Yeah, I think it's really, really hard. I think it's so unforgiving. I think it has a mind of its own. And it's like you have to do so much with so little. Like with oil paint, I feel like it's pretty forgiving. You can always paint over it. But it's like at a certain point, the watercolor, it just like wears itself out because you've put down too many marks.
Hmm. Well, watercolor in general is a really difficult medium to use, but I think it is particularly difficult for maybe myself and maybe also for you, because I have a tendency to overwork things. I want things to be exact and perfect, and I never do things in one stroke. I have to put down at least 10, and that's really counterintuitive with watercolor.
I mean, I feel like I'm just starting to get a grip on watercolor. And actually, these markers that I'm using, this is what helped me with it, because I use the markers as like a bridge. So what I did, and if you watch my Utah tutorial, you'll see that in the beginning, the paintings that I do, they're like very marker heavy. And the watercolor is almost like an accessory. But then I started doing enough of it that they actually switched places so that the marker was just touch-ups and the bulk of the painting was watercolor. But it took a long time to get there.
Yeah, actually, a use of watercolor that I saw that I thought I could attempt was when Julie showed me in the character and also environment design tutorials that did ballpoint pen first, and then she did light watercolor base coloring for those drawings. And I thought, hey, that's a really accessible, easy to digest step into watercolor. And I thought, hey, I could do that too. And I never did.
That's the thing. I think watercolor is really hard to do by itself. Like, I think it actually is much easier if you combine it the way Julie did or the way I'm doing it with the markers. It's just so much easier to handle. Because, I really like Julie's technique. I mean, her ballpoint pen technique is so good, and it just combines, like, beautifully.
Mm.
Crap, I missed this one plane, and this would really actually be helpful. This one little plane here. It's minor, but it makes a pretty big difference.
Huh. Ayane says, I guess my wrist pain has been good in some ways because I'm pretty much having to learn stroke efficiency. If I do too many strokes, especially when vertical, it will hurt, so I need to do it in 1 to 2 strokes for no pain. Well, I'm glad that you're learning stroke efficiency, Ayane, but if your wrist hurts, don't draw. I think that's like a big indicator that you maybe should not exert too much force on your wrist. Yeah. But it's good that it's developing some like interesting artistic practices. But not all art has to be pain.
No. I mean, sometimes it's those limitations that get you to do fun things.
Mm-hmm.
This is good advice from Ave, who says, something I also learned from a prof, develop fast, resist the urge to edit, like finish a lot of drafts without editing, then do the editing a week later so you have a fresh look. Oh, I do not judge my stuff when I'm making it, because I'm always wrong. Like, usually I'm in the middle of drawing it and I'm going, oh, I hate this. It looks like garbage. And then I look at it a week later, I'm like, oh, that's not so bad. So it's generally not advised.
Mm-hmm.
Alma is asking, how do you deal with perfectionism? I use watercolor so I can blame it if it's not perfect, but other mediums, how do you practice letting go? You know what helped me, Alma, was wet charcoal. Kat, did you ever do wet charcoal in art school?
I did, yes. I didn't like it that much.
No, you're like Jordan.
Well, not completely like Jordan. I like dry charcoal. I like charcoal powder.
Well, so the whole thing about wet charcoal, it's a familiar material. Well, for me it was, because I had done a lot of charcoal before. And so I felt somewhat comfortable. But the thing is, it behaved like a completely different material that I wasn't prepared for. And so it was strange. It was like familiar, but not. Mm. And so sometimes stuff like that, it's just a cool balance. And with the wet charcoal, you could not perfect it. If you tried to do that, actually the paper starts to tear on you. And so you really had to just put the marks down and let it be. And that's not something I was very good at for a while. So the wet charcoal definitely got me to do that.
Hmm. I think something else that could help with perfectionism is just doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And that way you will be forced not to dwell on one thing for too long. You'll just have to move on. Because in order to get that one good drawing, you need 10 bad drawings. So if you're going to be a perfectionist for every single drawing, you're probably not going to improve as fast as you wish to.
I mean, Kat, I think it's a lot easier to pump out 20 bad drawings than to try to do one that looks great. I think that's way more stressful. But that's definitely something art school taught me, because when I was in high school, I made work, but I didn't make that much work. And then when I went to art school, we were just like pumping out projects every week. And at a certain point, you're just making so much work that you can't dwell, because you're like, oh my gosh, I need to move on, because if I don't, I'm not going to get my projects done. So that was an advantage of having to just produce and produce. By the way, everybody, we are going to be doing a stage session in the Discord right after this stream. So we would love for you to meet us there, because you can talk to Kat and I on voice. You can just listen as well. You're going to want to go into the post live stream stage channel, and we will also be in the Art Alongs channel, which is normal. We use that channel so that way you can post images if you drew along with us. And Kat and I will get to chat with some of you on voice, which is super fun. Subscribe to our channel so you can continue to grow and develop as an artist. And a big thank you to our top Patreon supporters. Kat, look at the second slide. It's getting very small. It's very exciting. So everybody, thank you so much for watching, and I hope to see you in the stage channel. Have a good night. Bye.